to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Then I am very, very excited about what I want to share this morning, especially after Stefan's offering message. Really just confirmed what I want to share with us this morning. And also just tying in with the fact that at Awaken, we want women to go out and serve. And just to encourage us. Now, the title of the sermon is Confidently Christian with a question mark. The question that we can ask ourselves, am I just a Christian or am I confidently a Christian? And I just want to share a little story with you, what I have experienced a couple of weeks ago. I went to fill the car up, and it was late at night, and I simply had to do it because I had no petrol left, but I didn't know that the petrol price was going up that night at 12 o'clock and that the rest of the Western Cape also went to do it. So I ended up being in a long queue, and I was just sitting in the car late in the evening at about 10:30 in the evening, just waiting my turn to be able to have the car filled up. And in front of me, there was a buggy. And in the back of the buggy, there was a man driving. And in the back of the buggy with a canopy, there were two little girls. I estimate them between about 3-4 years old. And they had very little on. They were very, very, very poorly dressed. And you know, the buggy's cold and dirty, and it's late at night. And they were there in the back, and they really seemed neglected. And they were right in front of me, so I could see everything that was happening. And then, because we were in such a long queue, we were not moving, and everybody switched their cars off. And the man, which I assume was the father of these children, just stood up and he just left. I don't know where he went. He went for a walk and he just left these two little girls all on their own. And then you know what children do? They always have to do something. So they were playing with the door of the canopy of the buggy, just playing with it and playing around. And then the little one, the small one, had her fingers there at the hinges, and the other one closed and opened the door. And she really hurt her fingers quite badly. And she started screaming and crying and holding her little fingers. And the other one, typically, I mean, we all who have more than one child will know this. The other one started screaming at her, "You stupid, why did you put your fingers there?" And, you know, and she was in such pain. And the other one was so angry with her. And there was just nobody to comfort her. There was nobody to hold her. There was nobody there. Because these children are neglected children. And it really got to me. It really got to me. And I went home that night, and I couldn't sleep, and I was just rolling around, and I started crying out to God, and I said, "God, can you see what is going on in this country, or are you completely oblivious?" Like Stefan said, who feel that God has failed them utterly. I was just really crying out to God. And I said, "God, please, you better speak to me, because I feel, frankly, I feel quite desperate. Because every single day when I leave my house, I see poverty, I see suffering, I see calamity. I see it all the time." And God took me to the book of Habakkuk. And I want to say that, you know, you live in Joburg. The people in the Cape sometimes refers to Joburg as if it is a different country. Have you ever noticed that? It certainly does have different leadership. I'm aware of that. But I just became very aware of the fact that we live in very challenging circumstances. And we can choose to see it or not to see it. We can choose to be aware of it or not to be aware of it. And most of us who are sitting here, just by the looks of it, if I may say, seems fairly privileged. I think most of us who are sitting here have everything that we need, and some of us have everything that we want. And life is okay. You know, we get up, we were sleeping in a warm bed, we open the fridge, there's milk, there's porridge, there's coffee, there might even be something nicer than that. Henny has some very nice coffee at his house. You know, we get into a car, we come to church. We don't have to see what other people in this country are going through. But the fact is, we need to see. And I was reminded of Esther. If we look at Esther 4 verse 14, and if you do not know the story about Esther, then you can go and read it. I'm not going to rehearse the story now, but it's a beautiful story. But Esther's uncle, Mordechai, speaks to her and he says to her, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish." Then he says to a very well-known verse, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther's uncle says to her, she was queen, and he says to her, "Who knows, perhaps you became queen for a reason. Perhaps there was method in the madness. Perhaps it was for such a time as this." And I really believe with all of my heart, since the Word of God says He knew us before we were in our mother's womb, I believe with all of my heart that God chose each one of us for this generation. And I often think that when it comes to me and myself, God chose wrong because I wanted to live in the generation before cell phones and iPhones and tablets. I would love to not have to live in this generation because of that. But I understand that God decides in which generation we will live and that He chooses us for such a time as this. And if there is one organization, if I can call it like that, who should see what is going on in our country and in our continent, it should be the church. And who should care, it should be the church. And I sincerely hope that I am not the only one lying awake at night concerned about the poverty and the pain and the suffering in our country and in our communities. And it is a prayer of my heart that we will mature to the place where we look beyond ourselves to those who really need us. And I want to read a little bit from the book of Habakkuk. Because when I was so desperate, I said, "God, can you please speak to me because I do not understand." You know that song, that old song, "From a Distance," Bette Midler, "From a Distance, God is Watching Us." There's another song that says, "What if God was one of us?" You know that song? "What if God was one of us?" You know, that evening I said to God, "God, I really think that you watch from a distance. I really do not see at this moment. I cannot see. I only see what is hard and what is difficult. And it seems like, you know that song says, what if God was one of us, then He would perhaps understand what we are going through. And I said, God, you need to show me the truth here. And I want to read from Habakkuk, starting from Habakkuk 1 verse 1, and this is the opening verses of this book. And this is Habakkuk pretty much saying the same thing to God that I did. And I was so grateful to discover that what I experienced I could find in the Word of God and that it could be normal. And what we know about Habakkuk is that his name means embrace, which is very interesting, and we will get back to it. And that he lived in a time of lawlessness. He lived in a time of great violence, and it was not going well with Israel at all. And I read from verse 1, Habakkuk 1 verse 1. "The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. And I just want to stop here for a moment. Habakkuk says, why do you show me? That is the difference between those who see and those who do not see. God wants us to see. God wants to, He wants to show us what is going on in the world. Verse 4. Therefore, the law is powerless. Does it sound familiar? You know, I have a couple of fines. Let me just confess here. I have a couple of fines. And I said to my husband, I'm really stressed about these fines. And he said, ah, nothing will happen. This country is lawless in any way, and they have to come and arrest you at your house, and they can never find you at your house, so nothing will happen. And I was thinking, hey, I feel convicted. But the thing is, we live in a country where lawlessness is extremely evident, where violence is extremely evident, where injustice is extremely evident. And this could have been one of us instead of Habakkuk. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Does it sound familiar? Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. That is what Habakkuk says. Habakkuk says, God, where are you? And I want to say something about this. You know, I grew up in a church, and let me just interrupt myself there. I'm really trusting that the message of this book, Habakkuk, will minister to us not just community-wise, where we need to become aware of the role of the church and us as individuals, but also for our own personal lives. There is so much to learn from Habakkuk. And, you know, I grew up in a church where the minister said, you are never allowed to question God. You never question God. Who grew up like that? You never question God. Yes. Most of us. I became a Christian. I became born again. And this became a crisis to me. Because I could not understand why am I being told to have a personal relationship with God, but I'm not allowed to question Him. You know, my relationship with my children is mostly questions. Who of you have children? I mean, they drive you, it's crazy. You know, normally at about 7 o'clock in the evening, I tell them you are not allowed to speak. Don't tell me a story, don't tell me a joke, don't show me a new move. You know, they've got all these moves. Don't talk to me about anything, and especially no questions. No questions. Just, you're not allowed to speak. You may speak to each other, not to me. Just be very quiet. Because the fact that we have relationship is shown by the fact that they constantly ask questions. Some of them are to challenge us. Some of them are to find out whether we really care, whether we really love them. Some of it are to manipulate us. Some of it, I mean the parents. Some of it are just for information. But there are millions of questions in the 18 years or whatever that you have a child in your house. And that is relationship. And I want to say that if we are going to have a meaningful relationship with God, we will have to ask many questions. Not because we are rebellious, but because we need to understand. Because if there is real relationship, there is a real need for understanding. Just like in a marriage. Many questions. We have to be able to question God. And if we just go and look at the Psalms, I mean, David, God, why do you hate me? It's almost like that. Why do you, where are you? We need to be able to come to God. When do we question God, it is not a sign of unbelief. It is a sign of faith. The Word of God says, those who come to God must believe that He is. It is a sign of faith. And when we become overwhelmed with our personal circumstances, with circumstances beyond our reach, with whatever it is that we feel burdened with, we need to be able to go to God and ask questions with the expectation that He will answer us. Can I say that again? With the expectation that He will answer us. And often He will answer with peace. not exactly how we think. Let me go on. There's so much that I want to say. Now, if you go and read the book of Habakkuk, he goes to God, he asks all these questions, and then he says, God, are you not going to deal with the lawlessness, the violence, the injustice, and the pain in my country? Are you not going to do anything about it? And then God does answer him. And I want to read that answer from Habakkuk 1 verse 6. Listen what God says to Habakkuk. This is the way that he answers him. He says, yes, indeed, I am going to do something, he says. For indeed, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Verse 9. They are all for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. So Habakkuk says, God, what are you going to do about the injustice in this place? And God says, I am going to deal with the evil. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the Chaldeans and they are going to utterly destroy all of you. You know, that would be like ISIS coming in here this morning. That's the comparison that we can draw. And the Chaldeans, like we hear from the Word of God, they had a reputation, and I read a bit about it. They had a reputation that when they came, they destroyed utterly everything. The children, the chickens, the sheep, the vineyards, everything was destroyed. So Habakkuk comes with a question and God comes with an answer, which he expected, which he wanted, which he asked for. An answer that was completely and absolutely the wrong answer. Who of you have ever experienced that in the most difficult of circumstances, you cry out to God and things become worse? Anybody? You know, we cannot understand God. The Word of God says, now you see in a dim light. Now you see partly. No kyk jy in 'n dowwe spieël. One day you will see clearly. We have little Caleb that we just prayed for with his hearing problem now. And he's quite a strong-willed child, quite a challenge to raise. And he's very aware of what he wants and what he doesn't want. Does that sound familiar to parents with four-year-olds? And he was at that stage, he just turned four. And it was a normal morning, like most other mornings. It was just me and him. The others were already at school. And I gave him some porridge. So he was sitting opposite. He was sitting at the counter in the kitchen. And I put some porridge for him in the green bowl. And I gave it to him. And he said, I don't want the green bowl. I want the blue bowl. So now I have to make the sum in my head. Because if I insist that he keeps the green bowl, which I should, which would be the right thing, the consequences would just be too much. So I decide, okay, that's fine. I will just for the peace and quiet and for my own inner peace before I go to work, I will just say, okay, Caleb. So I say, okay, Caleb, I will put it in the green bowl. So I put it in the other bowl and I give it to him and I pour some milk and some honey over it. It's his favorite porridge. He loves it. So just after I did that, he said, I didn't want milk. I wanted butter. Can you give me new porridge? I didn't want milk. So I tell him, no, this is where I draw the line. This is now it. You always have milk. Eat it or go hungry. Choose. So he looks at me, and the previous day he had a hiding, so he's a little bit careful. But he looks at me, and he's got very thick glasses, and he's got one squint little eye. So with the glasses, his eye is fine, but without the glasses, it's squint. So he looks at me over the glasses. So his little eye is completely squint. He looks at me, and he does this. He says, do you want me to become angry at you? You know, and I stand there, and I'm obviously hysterical with laughter. I tell him, Caleb, you are 4 and I'm 40. I mean, just like, you know, this thing. I have the power here. I am the one with all the say here. And when I read this, God reminded me of that little scenario. And God said to me, you know, you stand there on your little planet Earth, little you or little me, and between all the galaxies and all the moons and all the Milky Ways and all of those, you look at me with your little finger. And you say, you want me to become angry at you, God? And God says, you are 4 and I'm 40, you know, it's just like, and this is what I want to say this morning. There's something that we must understand about God. And this is not something that it's preached often because it's not nice to hear. But God can do anything that he chooses to do. And you know, Caleb, being 4 years old, cannot understand why he cannot have chocolate for breakfast. Because in the mind of a 4-year-old, it makes perfect sense to have chocolate for breakfast. And in actually probably many of our minds. But it takes a responsible parent, which we really try to be, but it's very challenging. It takes a responsible parent to say no, because a responsible parent would know that chocolate every morning for breakfast will give stomach ache, will give rotten teeth, will give too much energy and then no energy at all. It will eventually make you sick. And if you carry on with only sugar and nothing else in your diet, which is what children think they need, you will get very sick and die. But in the mind of a 4-year-old, it is physically impossible to figure that out. And it is the same with us and God. There are things that God will allow in our lives that we will probably never understand. We have but one choice. Make a peace with it. We have but one choice. Run back to God and ask him to experience his love, to experience his comfort. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, when we give our children a hiding, what they usually do, some do it immediately and some do it a while afterwards. They come back to us, they sit on our laps and they hug us. I don't know if any of you have experienced it. But there's something about a child being disciplined and running, I mean good, godly discipline, I don't mean abuse, running back to that person, that parent, and loving that parent. Even though they don't understand, something deep within them knows that this is good for me. And I am not saying that the things that we go through is God's discipline. Sometimes it is. All I'm saying is there is a lot that we will not understand. We must make a peace with it. The fact that the world asks us many questions about God that we cannot understand doesn't mean a thing. They need love. They need God's love. They do not need all their questions to be answered. They ask those questions so that they can come to the place where they understand that God loves them. And when we can come to that place of peace, knowing that whatever comes my way, you know that song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, I will say it is well with my soul." That is my favorite song. It is well with my soul. But there is some good news as well. So God gives this answer to Habakkuk, the very, very last, least answer that he wanted, because that would mean that he would also be destroyed together with the rest of his nation. And Habakkuk says, but God, how can you do that? What kind of answer is that to my question? You must go and read. Habakkuk says, God, your eyes are too pure to behold such evil. In other words, how can you, who are God, how can you do this? Does that sound familiar? How can you do this, God? Listen what God says. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Very familiar scripture. When you go and read a little bit more about that scripture, when it speaks about faith there, it refers to continuous faithfulness. God was saying to Habakkuk, there will be a remnant, there will be a small group of people who will indeed be saved. Who will they be? And there it referred to physical safety. When the Chaldeans come, who will those group of people be? It will be those who are continuously faithful. It will be those, when they cannot see God, when they do not experience God, when they are in a place where Job was, where nothing makes sense, still say, God, I love you. God, I will follow you. The just shall live by his faith. Who of you have noticed that serving God is very little goosebumps and very much just getting up in the morning and making a decision? Who of you have experienced that? And then we have awaken and there's a lot of goosebumps. That is why you must come, ladies. Then we have convergence and there's a lot of goosebumps. Then we have men's camp. I don't know if the men get goosebumps, but whatever happens there, happens there. But the fact of the matter is, we must make a decision and we must stick to it. Because we will see the salvation of the Lord. We will experience the love of God. But it takes some backbone. It takes some courage. You know, I often look at all the, and it's not my intention to bring fear. We shouldn't fear. But I often look at all the news articles and I wonder when is ISIS going to come our way? When are they going to come to our front doors and take our children? And are we ready for that? I've said this so often. I've said it so often. Forgive me if you heard it a million times before. But when I had my first child, who is 11 now, her name is Mikaela, and I held that baby in my arms, I was so overwhelmed, like every mother here will know. And I said, God, how do we raise this child? And God spoke to me so clearly. He said, raise her so that she can stand. When 1,000 fall to her left and 10,000 to her right, she should stand because she should understand the secret place, because hard times are coming. We need to be strong. We need to know where our anchor lies. And the people in Habakkuk who gave up on God were killed. But the just who are not proud, and in this context, it refers to the fact that I am so humble, I can only cling to God. I have nothing else, and I do cling to God. And I will have continuous faith. And I will wake up in the morning and say, your mercies are new every day. God, thank you that you are with me. Thank you that you walk with me. God, today again, I choose to serve you because I trust you with all of my heart. Ennie and Rochelle and I had such a lovely evening. It was so good to spend time with them last night. And I said to them again and again and again, the Spirit of God tells me, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will straighten your path. He will straighten your path. Look at Habakkuk 2 verse 12. You know, God is so different from people. God is so far from, we cannot figure Him out. He's too big for us. And God says to Habakkuk, I'm going to send the Chaldeans and they are going to utterly bring destruction. And then He says, after that He says, woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed and establishes a city by iniquity. So God says the Chaldeans will indeed come and they will deal with all this evil. But I, God, I woe them. You know, whenever it says woe, it means cursed. He says, I woe the Chaldeans for their violence. I woe them for the fact that they are doing this. What can we understand from this? We may have all kinds of things that come our way. Who will woe them? God. Who will speak into those circumstances of ours? God Almighty will. All we need to do is trust in Him. Whatever may come our way, whatever challenge we face, all we need to do is trust in Him. The just shall live by faith. And God will speak to our circumstances. God will speak to the agents of destruction in our lives. You know, we look at Job. I mean, Job's story is the most tragic story ever. And then we see this whole journey that Job has with God and all these questions and this massive struggle. And then in the very last piece of scripture in Job, it says Job had more than he ever had before. He was more blessed than he ever was before. Just to confirm what Stefan shared with the offering. You know, we have no guarantees in terms of exactly what God is going to do. But we can have the guarantee that He loves us enough to never just leave us. To know exactly what He allows in our lives. And to speak to those agents of destruction. And to lift us up. Because the just shall live by faith. And then we move on. And this is the most amazing thing. When we look at the book of Habakkuk, when we look at the beginning of the book and we look at the end of the book, and it's a short book, there's a dramatic change. A dramatic change. But nothing has changed. Habakkuk starts with, God, violence, destruction, lawlessness. God, it is terrible. Everything is wrong. There's nothing here that makes sense. He asks God. God gives him a very challenging answer. And what is Habakkuk's response? Listen to this. Very well-known scripture again. It's mind-blowing. Habakkuk says, though, Habakkuk 3 verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. My little 11-year-old was so excited to see that Habakkuk had high heels. You know, this is the most astonishing thing. Because the only dramatic change was in Habakkuk's perception. The only thing that changed from Habakkuk 1 to Habakkuk 3, the very first portion of scripture and the very last portion of scripture, was Habakkuk's perception. And what he says here was very real to him. You know, we in the Western church do not always understand, because we don't have a frame of reference. We see the scripture, though the fig tree may not blossom, and we think perhaps, though I may not get the promotion, though I may not lose weight, though I may not be able to go to the gym. You know, it was nothing like that. The Chaldeans were on their way, and they literally destroyed the fig tree and the vineyards and the sheep in the folds. They literally, it was very real circumstances. Habakkuk there refers to very, very challenging circumstances. He says, even though all these things may happen, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I really believe that God wants us to mature to the place where we can cry out to Him, where we can make a peace with whatever it is that we have to face, and to be joyful in that. Because He truly is in control. There's nothing like understanding that. You know, I was sitting on Thursday in the doctor's rooms with little Caleb and everything that the doctor told us. And I started crying. And I was just so overwhelmed, because I felt like such a... I didn't feel like a good mother at that very moment, because why could we not notice that our son is half deaf, almost deaf? And I went home, and I had so much to do, so much to do. I was so stressed with everything that I had to do. And I left everything, and I went to the park, and I sat on a bench, and I cried out to God. And God gave me peace that surpasses all understanding. And I went home full of peace, full of joy, full of confidence, because God is in control. And my prayer for us as the church is to take this message to those who really need to know it. Can we stand? I want to extend an invitation this morning. And I want to ask, if you are at a place in your life this morning where you are crying out to God and the answer doesn't seem to make sense, you are in a place where you just do not know. But what you do understand this morning is that your perception can change. What you do understand this morning is that God is there all the way. Can you come to the front and we will just pray over you if there's anybody like that. You are most welcome to come to the front. You know, God is so good. He gives us each other. And the word says we must carry each other's burdens. And I was so grateful this morning that Henny asked that all of you will pray for me. Because I have this little boy with the bad eyesight, the bad hearing, the little squint eye, and the battle with that. And I'm so aware that is just the least, that some of you here have challenges that are so much bigger and so much more overwhelming and that go so much deeper. And that we are just here for each other so that we can pray for each other like the word says, and that so that we can support each other, because we are the eyes and the ears and the hands of Jesus, but He does the work. He does it within us. So I want to ask that some people will just come and lay hands on these people while I'm going to pray over them. If we can just have somebody laying hands on each person that is standing here. Father, this morning, there are so many of us who are so grateful that we can come to a place where we can be honest about our battles, where we can be honest about our weaknesses, where we can be honest about our mistakes and our failures and our lack of faith and our wrong perceptions. And God, that we can come together and lay hands on each other and pray for each other, Lord. And then You come and You do the work in us, because You are the great healer. You are the great provider. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are our beginning and You are our end. And Lord, there are some people here standing in the front this morning whose hearts are overwhelmed, whose hearts are hurting so much. Oh God, but You are here to comfort, and You are here to speak hope. You are here to encourage. You are here to walk with us through the valley of darkness. God, some of the people that are standing here are walking through the valley of darkness, but You are holding their hand right there as they are walking. And they will come out on the other side like Job, having more than they had before. So Father, our prayers go out to every brother and sister who are here. Father, our prayers go out to those who did not come to the front, God, but who also have the same heart's cry. God, we pray that You will touch them with Your love, that You will touch them with your compassion. God, we pray that even though the fig tree may not blossom, even though the Chaldeans may be here, even though they may be on their way, even though we cry out violence and suffering and You seem distant, even though all these things are evident, You are right here, because we have continuous faith. And Father, I want to pray over each individual here. I want to pray over them, Lord, that they will be the just and that they will have continuous faith. Lord, not because they are strong or good, but because they simply choose to run to You, Lord. Oh God, I'm just reminded of the lady who came to church. I just want to tell those in front here just quickly of somebody that I met. She came to church. She was in a very, very bad accident. And she had very many physical problems after the accident. And she came to the front afterwards and she said to me, "You know, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't trust Him anymore. I almost died. I can hardly walk." She had all these very many battles. She said, "I don't believe in God anymore and I'm in a very bad place." I said to her, "But then why did you come to church? She said, because I'm still looking for him. And I said to her, well, that is enough. That is enough for God. That is enough for God. And Father, I want to thank you that, Father, I want to rebuke the lie in these precious people's heads, Lord, that they are not good enough for you, that they are not reaching out to you, that they are not trusting you, because here they are, God. Here they are at church. Here they are standing in the front. Father, thank you that they are looking for you, Lord. You say in your word, those who seek me with all of their hearts shall indeed find me, Lord. God, thank you that they will find you, Lord. Lord, I worship you for that, Father.